Welcome to VFN Radio's Extra Hour. I'm your host, Greg Lancaster. And we were just talking about the salt and the light, that we are the salt of the earth, the light of the world. The hope of glory is Christ in you and me. We need to do something. You're listening to VFN Radio's Extra Hour. Again, I am your host. I am your host, Greg Lancaster. And freezing John Paul is joining us in the Extra Hour.
Hello.
Wringing his hands from the cold. It's like a breaking 70 degrees there. And Pat Hamilton.
Hello, hello.
A buck 69, we'll tell you more about that in the Extra Hour. Yes, Senator Hillary Clinton is going before Congress today. Pray that the truth will come out, that they will report to your representatives, to Congress, what took place in Libya, what happened to the death of our ambassador. Benjamin Netanyahu has been voted the prime minister. Pray that he gets his government together, his majority together, so they can quickly move on and won't have to give up any land. So many things are taking place. We are encouraged that the shooter in Houston in the college there, Lone Star College, has been arrested, and the victims are okay. They are in the hospital. They're wounded but released. You're listening to VFN Radio's Extra Hour. I'm your host, Greg Lancaster, and joining me is Pat Hamilton.
Hello.
And John Cold Ramos.
Hello, hello. Oh,
it must be cold, huh? Isn't that amazing?
Man, it is freezing.
Is it freezing?
When I type, my fingers hurt. Okay, right? It is cold.
I'll tell you what, the worst days, there's two worst days, I guess, in being a, I used to have an outside job called a deputy sheriff. I was a police officer. Ooh. And you don't get to stay home when it rains, and you don't get to stay home when it's cold. I mean, they just want you to go to work, even on the holidays. It's amazing how that works, right? There's a hurricane coming. You go, I need to take off and hide. They go, no, you go out there and help everybody. And I'll never forget, you know, trying to, you got to be able to use weapons. You got to be able to, be mobile and agile. And you got to write. You can't write with gloves as well as you can write, with your hands.
Yeah.
And, man, that was just so tough. Riding outside, of course, less traffic tickets were written in cold weather.
I bet.
In rainy weather.
All right.
Don't do that no more. That was how it worked. And then roll the window back.
Slow down, please.
Just crack the window.
Crack the window. Don't do that no more. It reminds me of my first encounter with the New Jersey police officers there, and we're grateful for the police officers there. But I was going to Brooklyn, and I was going up the beautiful Garden State Parkway, and I had pulled over for information, trying to figure out this couldn't be it,
I already know what you're going to say.
Yeah, and so I pull over, and I'm thinking, from the South, the police officers are pretty nice, and they're kind, and they're just
right.
Just Southerners, pretty much in general, What you doing? Anyway, so I pull over, and I see this police officer, and to top it off, his hood was up, so he's having car issues. And I said, I'm trying to get to the Brooklyn Shipyard. Do you know where it is? He turns around with me, and I can't talk like he talked, his accent and all. But he says, do I look like an information booth to you? I'm like, oh, my goodness. I'm like, where am I? What have they sent me? No.
Because, I'll get back in my car.
Yeah, right. He never gave me directions. He didn't get, because I didn't ask any. I just like, okay, that's no, you're not information booth, sir. If I'm
yeah, right.
I'm sorry. I thought it said information booth, not police. I am sorry about that. I won't do that again. But sure enough, that was my first experience with communicating with New Jersey when I met one of the police officers there. Of course, I'm sure things are totally different now. But that's how they were there. Of course, when you and I were going through New Jersey, John, you and me, that we were. In our car, and we're driving, and right in front of us, they had the program called Cops.
Mm-hmm.
It was in front of us. They were taking, there was like right in front of us, they took a car down. Mm-hmm. They got people climbing all over it, and John's
Pat,
driving.
He's like, back up.
I know.
Back up, back
John's
up,
getting closer up, so you can up. See him thinking, like, he don't know. They shoot, and bullets go places.
Yeah, right.
And I'm going, like, back up. And he's getting closer and closer. I'm like, oh my goodness. We're watching Cops right in front of us. in New Jersey taking place, and you're on a street you couldn't turn around. And so it's
we did meet a very nice police officer in the New York Stock Exchange. Remember the guy on the horse? The police officer on the horse.
That's a lot of great police officers. That was years ago.
Super nice guy.
Yeah. Yeah, he was. He lives in New Jersey, I believe he did. He said most people do live in New Jersey that work in.
They only work in New York. Everybody lives in Jersey.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, you got to have a lot of money to live.
Yeah.
If you're living in the low numbers, you got to have a lot of.
That's right. Fourth, fifth, sixth, seventh, midtown.
Yes. Can you imagine? Oh, my goodness. You know, when the Freedom Towers, have they completed them yet?
Not yet. They did finish the memorial, the World Trade Center memorial, you know, and I'm looking forward to getting down there to see that, but they have not completed the towers. In fact, one of my cousin's husband's been working on it, and they've been taking a long time. I asked him all, Andy, when are you guys getting this thing up? You know, but they work very hard on it.
Yeah, here it's going to be 1,776 feet high.
Really?
Wow.
Yeah, 1,776. Does that ring a bell?
Interesting.
Yeah.
It's going to be 1,776 feet high. Now, what is that number? What does that number actually mean?
Do we have the music?
What?
Do we have the music? Na, 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 na.
What does that mean?
Yeah.
What does that mean? That was the year... I think it wasn't about when.
Wasn't there a revolution or something?
'1776, the Declaration of Independence.
Yeah, I knew that.
Okay.
I didn't see you paying attention.
I like that. That's
cool.
Like
is that not cool? It's gonna be it's gonna be Declaration of Independence, which I don't know. If it is a harbinger, you know what I'm saying? Because of the statements, you know, hone from stone, we're going to build back stronger and we're going to declare our independence. You know, 17 is a different kind of independence, possibly. But anyway, 1776 feet, I understand.
Beautiful building, different parts of Manhattan. When I was down there, beautiful. You can see great, great views of it. Just, they need to get it done.
Well, you know, we've been taking the citizenship test for a U.S. citizen. If you want to be a U.S. citizen, you have to be able to take this test. And it's 100 questions on the test. And if you pass it, it's you can become a citizen. But we're finding out as we're taking this little by little, about 5 questions at a time. That we don't know all this, and we don't know this, and it's like, oh my goodness, I can't believe that Matt didn't know that. You know,
I know he's very close to getting deported.
That's right, because you're going to self deport. You know that he will be living in Pakistan. I mean, he don't even pronounce Pakistan like we do. It's Pakistan. It's Paxton stands. And what we're finding out that we got to educate ourselves on this, because this is what's the original intent of our nation. And when you come in and become a citizen, or just like they just said, I believe at the inauguration, that everybody swears to uphold and protect the United States Constitution from enemies, foreign and domestic. And it's so important that we need to know that we're finding out about the Constitution, and that's the biggest thing, because the Constitution is the supreme law of the land. When somebody talks about doing away with the Constitution, they're talking about doing away with the supreme law of the land, making totally new laws, and we won't be made up the same way anymore. And so this is how it works. We're going to go to the next 5 questions. We're moving right along. We've passed the middle mark, and we're at question 61, which is the first question for today. But I want to be able to let you guys know the rules. Don't forget that we're going to give you time to think. You can take all the time you want to be able to think until we just say, come on, you got to come up with something. And when you're thinking, you'll be hearing. And that's your time to ponder, not Google. You need to figure out, you know, what the answer is. And once you have your final answer, you say you get your final answer. That's going to be it. None of this jump. What about A, B, C? You know, like no. And then, of course, if you get it right, everybody always celebrates you. And if you get it wrong. Okay, the first question today from the citizenship test of the United States of America to become a citizen and for you guys not to have to be deported from the United States of America and go to Pakistan is why did the colonials fight the British? Why did the colonialists fight the British?
Whose question is it?
Okay. First question is going to go to John. First question is going to go to John. And the first question is, John, why did the colonialists fight the British? Why did the colonialists fight the British? All right, here's the question. The question on the citizenship test today for John is, why did the colonialists fight the British?
They were fighting for independence.
Well, yes, but they have, 27 reasons why that we know about, that they don't talk about. Mm-hmm. They just mentioned three on the citizenship test. They mentioned because of high taxes. Go figure, right? Taxation without representation is the only thing that most talk about. Mm-hmm. And because British Army stayed in their houses, that's huge. Because they would go in and just make themselves at home. Mm. They would take your food, they would slide over, and you had to let them stay there. Mm. They just pushed their way in. That's why it says in the Constitution that it can't be done anymore. But listen, if you do away with the Constitution, guess who's going to be sitting in your living room? Who's going to be sitting in your living room?
Can you put that grenade over there?
Yeah, right. You're talking about weapons bans. It's like, oh, my goodness. And the next one they list is because they didn't have self-government. Well, there's 27 reasons that were listed, but if you want to pass the test, you need to have those particular three. And but the big thing was there was no representative government, that the king was put himself over the church. They're trying to tell, what to do. And the First and the Second Amendments, that you can imagine if you don't have the right to bear arms, but soldiers can kick in your door with arms, that's not good at all. And so here we are on the next question. The next question is going to go to John. Mike, it's going to go to Pat. Here's the question. Question number dos. Question dos. Que dos, right?
Okay, dos. Dos.
Is Pat. Who wrote the Declaration of Independence? Who wrote the Declaration of Independence? This is for your citizenship. The whole 3 or 4 days we dedicated this on VFN radio when we were talking about it. Mm-hmm. Who wrote the Declaration of Independence? Can we give you his initials?
Come on.
All right, this is a shot.
Okay, here you go. Here.
Was it? You gonna give me initials?
Yeah, it has an alphabet. It's in the alphabet.
Okay, great. Jefferson.
Hey, Thomas Jefferson. As a matter of fact, John, you were actually there where he wrote it. Right? Yeah. Didn't you go to Pittsburgh or Pennsylvania?
Yeah, they still preserve the home, little place. It's pretty cool. They said it. I know it's amazing. You got to go down there if you ever get a chance. But it's right downtown area. you see all these downtown buildings, and you have the little house that's preserved, half of a house, actually, that's preserved. Pretty cool.
So here is the next question on the U.S. citizenship test. Listen, if you're listening right now and you're worried about being deported because you've been born here, you've been living here for like four generations, and you realize you don't know anything about your country, hey, listen, we got all these segments on VFN Radio. You can listen to them, and we have a lot of good time with it. We're just having fun with it. But the truth is, we're learning as we go. We want this inside of us. We need to rediscover the original intent of our nation. John, here's a question. The next question on the U.S. citizenship test is, when was the Declaration of Independence adopted? When was the Declaration of Independence adopted? Here's a question. The question is for John on the U.S. citizenship test, so that you do not have to go to Pakistan. When was the Declaration of Independence adopted?
A long, long time.
That was good. Yeah.
1776. I don't know. No.
What day?
That wasn't my voice now.
Oh, right. 4th of July?
Yes! That's so important because so many people say 4th of July is about picnics and water sports or fireworks. Mm-hmm. And the fireworks represent the battle that took place. And they're exploding over the flag. That's why you have Star Spangled Banner playing and you got fireworks going in the air. And sometimes the flags out there, it's like those are the combination of we're celebrating our independence. The day that we said, listen, it's over, Great Britain. You know, it's just not going to happen anymore. And that's when you have the Declaration of Independence, which has 27 reasons why. Hmm. It's not just taxation without representation. I remember when the progressive movement really started trying to promote that in the 60s, when they started having all these different little sayings about that and pushing it was taxation without representation, and they were trying to shift it to economic issues instead of spiritual issues. And it started really under Woodrow Wilson in the early part. Obviously, everything started under Woodrow, including the United Nations, mind you. Okay, Pat, here is the next question for today. This is our second to last question on the U.S. citizenship test. Is there were 13 states? There were 13 original states. In America, name three. All right, Pat, this is the U.S. citizenship test. Name, there were 13 original states to America. Think about it. There's 50 today, possibly about to be 51, I would guess, in this term. Yeah. And original states, so name three of them. Name three
only
of them.
Only three?
Yeah, it's just three.
Only?
All right, how about eight. Pennsylvania? One. Virginia? Georgia.
Yeah. That was very good. Very good. That's kind of like, I don't know why you just named the southern states. Is there something we need to talk about?
Pennsylvania's not in the south. Southern.
Yeah, well, you're thinking about New Hampshire, Massachusetts, Rhode Island, Connecticut, New York, New Jersey, Delaware. I mean, those are like the north.
He said Pennsylvania.
Oh, did he?
Yeah.
Did he? Okay. Yeah. Well, that's kind of like almost.
I worked my way down.
You work your way down. Well, these are the 13 original states, so you know them. It's New Hampshire, Massachusetts, Rhode Island, Connecticut, New York, New Jersey, Pennsylvania, Delaware, Maryland, Virginia, North Carolina, and South Carolina. Think about that. North and South Carolina has been around that long.
Wow.
Was Georgia one of them?
Well, I can finish yet.
Oh, I thought you're done.
And Georgia. Okay. Georgia was significant because remember that that when George Washington was trying to get Congress to pay for the soldiers' pay that fought for our freedom, that he had to go down to Georgia, which is named after King George, by the way. Go figure, right? George, where'd you get that name from? It's the king. And to get with that particular leader there to be able to come, I believe it was a governor, but it could have been one of the senators, probably a senator, I assume it's D.C., or not D.C., but it was the Congress. And he had to go, he rode horseback all the way down there to Georgia. Because he and this guy never showed up because Georgia was so big, they pretty much determined which way the 13 states went.
Oh, wow.
And so their population-wise. And so to be able to get the buy-in, he rode horseback all the way down there to talk to him and encourage him to show up because he wouldn't even show up. And when he did, it just kept our country alive.
Wow.
Amazing. Totally amazing when you start thinking about this. Okay, here's the last question for today. It's going to go to John. John, here's the question for the USS. So shit, US, that's just so tough for me. Like statistics.
I was wondering what was going on. Throat lozenge?
Well, it's because it's just tough. I mean, I think about, you know, the USS whatever ship. It just kind of comes out of me, but not, I guess, the United States. That's what United States citizenship. That helps out. John, the last question for today. So you don't have to go to Pakistan. Is what happened to the Constitutional Convention? What happened at, what happened at the Constitutional Convention? All right, here we are. John, for the last question for the United States citizenship test for today is what happened at the Constitutional Convention?
My guesstimation would be that the Constitution was ratified at the Constitutional Convention.
Actually, that's when Thomas Jefferson wrote it. That's when they actually wrote the Constitution. The answer to the question is the Constitution was written. The Founding Fathers or the Founding Fathers wrote the Constitution. Is that cool?
Wow.
So when you hear then about Constitutional Convention, that there's a convention, people, you know, you have a convention today, people come together. Well, they all came together to be able to write the Constitution, which Thomas Jefferson wrote without a computer, wrote totally, totally amazing. Y'all did wonderful. Totally, totally wonderful. If you have not yet thought about, if you haven't thought about going to the next level in God, meaning going, learning more about God, diving into the depths of what God has for you. Listen, the Great Commission's not the great suggestion, no matter what anybody's told you. And we do answer alone, no witnesses, no suspects before the throne of God. But despite all that, you're called and designed by God. You've been given a certain measure of talents to invest in his kingdom, to be able to bring an interest, a dividend back to the king. What does that mean? Sowing your life and what God's given you into other people. If that's you, do you feel like you have a call on your life? A call on your life, and you need to see, I don't know what to do or how to do it. And what I see right now, what's happening seems kind of hard to do. They're talking like $1.3 million building projects and $1.3 million per baptized believer in the church in America. They're talking about, I said, how can I do that? Listen, that's just all religion. Be at peace. It's not as complicated as religion's made it out to be. Simple fishermen can obey God. Find out more today at Vine Fellowship Network University. Go to vfnu.org. vfnu.org. John, do you know the VFN TV app is out, right? I think it's 4.0, man.
4.0.
That is so cool. And they're doing a wonderful job at designing it and putting it together. And everything that we're saying and doing is available now on the VFN TV app. All you got to do is go to your app store, type in VVictor, VFN TV, and it just shows up. Or you can go to VFNTV.com and click on the appropriate store, whichever one you actually have your phone with. But it's so important. You can listen to highlights. You can listen to the programs. You can listen to us live. We're live 24-7, 7 days a week. and some encouraging words, some any prophetic words that are coming out. You know, God's news behind the news. It's not enough to know the news. You need to know what to do with the news you know. Listen, get the app. It's totally free, by the way. Go to your app store and find it today. Just type in VFN TV. It'll pop up. Download it for free or go to VFNTV.com. You know, VFN Radio and VFN TV, you know, we are a Christian. We're Christians bringing to you a conversation. We're not a news corps. We're just saying, you know, what's going on from what we understand and just kind of sharing our opinion about it and what God's laying on our heart. We believe that God speaks through his word. We believe God speaks through dreams and visions and words of knowledge and words of wisdom. And with that, we bring together sometimes what we call God's news behind the news. What we're doing is bringing to you based on what we personally have experienced or feel in our heart, because God's word says every man knows in part and prophesies in part. And we're encouraging you, hoping to stir, you know, what God's saying to you inside of you, that you can hear that. We're not saying that we are a news organization. Things that we're talking about, that we are hearing, that is our opinion that we're sharing with you. And God has an opinion, you know, and yes, we're trying to tap into what he's saying and hopefully, you know, being able to share that because of his word. And so I just want to clarify that's what VFN TV and VFN Radio is. We're here to encourage you. It's to the church, which are believers. We are speaking out to those that have gone astray, and we're kind of encouraging you to come back, and those that are being led to the Lord. I mean, God's drawing you, and we're talking to you. We're not speaking at large to, you know, whosoever. You know, we're actually talking to those that God is has as his own, that he's drawing to himself, and those that have gone astray. And we're just sharing our opinion, you know, what God has laid on our heart. Welcome back to VFN Radio's Extra Hour. I am your host. Stay warm. Work it. Greg Lancaster, and we have John doing gymnastics this morning, and Pat Hamilton in the Extra Hour. Man, I'm telling you what, this is something. This is something that you know, that's the old fashioned heating system, you know. What's the old fashioned? That's like move around a lot. move around a lot. Oh my goodness. Well, you know, it's 10 degrees, right? 10 degrees. Yeah, we're going to be going out on the beach today and relaxing a little bit.
Okay. Yeah, right.
Not.
This is a great for you to visit.
Nice. I remember I lived on an island, the Pensacola Beach Island, when I was younger. And you're talking about cold. There's no trees. Oh. So you're on like a pile of sand. You know, with wind blowing at 100 miles an hour off cold water, it just, you know, things break off at moments like that when it's cold. And I remember we were finding anything we could at the one. We had the heater on full blast and had the fireplace cranked up. I mean, it was throwing wood in the fireplace. We even explored to find wood in other places that you probably wouldn't find wood before, but, you know, hey, they weren't using it. who needs a privacy fence? just joking, maybe. That was BC before I met the Lord. Anyway, it was just cold. It was like a cold concrete type floor and a block type house, you know, on an island type. And it was nice in the summertime, but the winter it was cold. Very cold. Man, I gotta tell you about this. That my grandfather, my dad's father, used to live with us. And funny, I mean, it was hilarious and some of the things, but he loved to cook everything in the pressure cooker. And he was out there at this place that I'm talking about. And he was cooking collard greens. On the stove in a pressure cooker. And a pressure cooker, for those who don't know, probably it's not a microwave. It is a pot that you put water in and you seal it so tight the air can't get out of it. And if it does, it comes out of a small little area and it builds pressure up inside of it. Mm-hmm. It was the old-fashioned microwave.
Yeah.
It was the first microwave. And so it's a bomb on your stove, basically.
Right.
That you're creating some hydrogen bomb, you know, some water bomb on your stove. And anyway, so he's cooking in the kitchen or whatever. We had these real high ceilings and these beams up real high. And all of a sudden we hear this kaboom! The explosion that took place. And we come running, you know, in there to find out what's going on. Man, there was collard greens all over the place. There was greens in the ceiling, greens everywhere. And he didn't have four hairs on his head. He had greens on his head. There was greens everywhere.
Oh, no.
He tried to take a peek to see if the greens were done yet. And he opened the lid.
He opened the lid while I was on.
And it went kaboom. Oh, my goodness. That was so funny. You don't, when you're cooking in a pressure cooker, you just got to trust. You got to move by faith. I think it's done. You take it off. You take it over to the sink. You let cold water run over it until you got a peace with God. And then you open it. Because it's a bomb. It's literally a bomb. But I thought it was just, what's that?
Speaking of grandfathers, this is hilarious. Must be a grandfather thing with explosions. Yeah. I remember my grandfather, he used to shave. And he used
Your
to
grandfather
heat.
Shaved?
Yeah, he shaved. He shaved. But he used to shave with, he used to heat the can. I guess I don't use cans anymore, but I guess they still do. But the shaving cream can. And he would heat it up.
Yeah, we actually still use cans.
What do you get yours out of?
What do you know?
I don't use shaving cream. I don't use shaving cream.
That's right. He's a dry shaver.
Oh.
Let's get back to the story. Come on.
You're so delicate. You're a delicate flower. Okay, anyway, go ahead.
So he's heating up this can with his in hot water.
Right.
And I guess he's been doing this for years.
Hot shave. Well,
yeah, it's shaving cream, hot shave. Mm-hmm. But the thing explodes. It can't explode.
Is it on the stove?
No, this was, I guess, in the sink in the bathroom somewhere. I don't know what he was doing. I was a kid.
Right.
I woke up and I thought it snowed inside the house. Right. There was shaving cream everywhere. Yeah. All over his face, all over his body. And his shocked look. Oh, it was hilarious.
Well, this is a grandfather that you used to mess with a lot.
Oh,
is that the one
yes.
you did that thing to?
All those things too. It's amazing. It's amazing it boils on in water.
Yeah, right.
We were at each other with water guns. He'd chase me down and all kinds of stuff. We had some funny moments.
Well, you know, it's so important to really talk about what, you know, God is saying at this one moment. And, you know, the Lord's just really speaking to me about the light and the salt, which I've talked about in the first and the extra hour. But, you know, Pat, you know, talk to us, man.
Well, I was just reading the scriptures and songs on Song of Songs, and it reminded me of, remember that song, You Won't Relent by Misty Edwards?
Mm.
And, you know, just the anointing that's on that song, and it just melts your heart when you're singing it. Well, I just found the scripture, and I just was like, oh, wow. Wow, this is that.
Yeah.
And it's in chapter 7, verse 6 and 7. It says, place me like a seal over your heart, like a seal on your arm. For love is as strong as death. Its jealousy as enduring as the grave. Love flashes like fire, the brightest kind of flame. Many waters cannot quench love, nor rivers drown it. If man tried to buy love with all his wealth, his offer would be utterly scorned. And it just melted my heart. I was like, wow, God, you love me that much. I mean, is that possible? You know, and it just made me want to, you just try to compare it to anything earthly as if you could, you know, what that kind of love was like. And obviously, you know, Jesus, you know, he displayed it, right. You know, on the cross for us.
That's the one thing that the enemy constantly attacks. People say, I just don't feel loved.
Yeah.
It's because Satan has put an all-out right attack against you to keep you from the revelation of what you're talking about.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, absolutely.
It's huge. Jealousy is more demanding than the grave.
Yeah. I can't even wrap my brain around this. I mean, I read it over and over and over again. It's like, God, I don't even understand this. It's just like beyond me.
Oh, yeah.
You're just I just have to believe it by faith.
Right.
That you just love me this much.
Right.
Lord, help me love you this much as you love me.
Yeah.
You know, and I'm like, I'm not there, but I'm like, God, I want it. That's, you know, I've been praying this all week, really.
Yeah.
It's like, God, show me your love. Show me, give me a taste of it so I can actually understand it.
Yeah.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying?
Take the reins of my heart and direct it into the vast ocean of your love.
Yeah.
Mm.
Right?
Absolutely.
Absolutely. And, yeah, I mean, I'm just, it just, it
you
just
think
it
about
messed me
demanding
up.
Demanding is a grave that, you know, when a believer dies mm-hmm. in this life, the grave has no hold on him because of God's love.
Mm-hmm.
It demands your soul.
Yeah.
The love of God demands your soul. And to be absent from your body is to be present with God.
Mm-hmm.
And you think about it, you know, his jealousy is demanding as a grave is that, no, I'm not going to let death have you because Jesus defeated death, hell, and the grave. You know?
Yeah.
And so because of that, that the moment you pass from this life, the grave doesn't have a hold on you.
Mm-hmm.
One song said, way back when, it says, ain't no grave going to hold me down. Ain't no grave going to hold me down.
Mm-hmm.
Because of his love, we are raised to be with him.
That's right.
Wow.
Think about it. It's awesome, isn't it?
Very awesome.
The
Very
grave awesome. Can. I think about, you know, I think about Pam. I think about Pam mm. And her lovely walk, and she's gone to be with the Lord. But we talked about that together, and it's like God's love for her is so strong that it's more demanding than the grave. And so literally, the moment that she left this life, she was with God in heaven. You know, as we talk about 90 minutes in heaven and what mm-hmm. it looks like, I mean, that's just beautiful because of the love of God.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. It's the love of God. It's not religious. It's because of the love of God. That's beautiful. Yeah. That's totally beautiful, man.
Yeah.
Wow. You just got to ponder that and mm-hmm. think about it.
Deep.
That was deep.
Yeah, it was definitely deep. So, John, talk to us, man.
Oh, my goodness. I'm still pondering on the love of God.
I know. So, yeah. I noticed.
I was undone.
I noticed.
It's just deep. You're right. And the biggest thing that attacks the enemy wants to attack is just to rob us from that revelation. Yeah. But we refuse to be robbed.
Right.
We refuse to be robbed.
I mean, embrace the reality that Satan is a liar and he's the father of lies. So if he's saying you're not loved, you're pretty much this is a state. This is the revelation because a lot of people just can't receive love. They just can't. It just doesn't click. And it took a long time for me, you know, with people ministering to me to help me say, you're not lying to me. You're serious, you know, type thing,
right.
You know, because a lot of people say the words, but they don't live the life. And it was just a usury type thing or whatever. But that when a believer has passed from this life and they're instantly with God, that I'd like to think that instantly they have an understanding of who you were to them. So they know fully, despite the complicated. Some of people say, well, how was your relationship with so-and-so? And they say, it's complicated.
Mm-hmm.
Well, ain't nothing complicated in heaven. That the complication is Satan trying to stir all these different things up.
Mm-hmm.
But I like to see, think about that wow, they instantly know my heart towards them.
Mm.
You know what I'm saying?
Mm-hmm.
I guess that could be bad too, but I'm talking, you know, if your heart's bad towards somebody, I'm talking about, you know, you try to communicate so often your love for people and that type of thing. And they're so, the enemies beat them up so bad that they just can't. I mean, they say, this is good. I'd rather be somebody saying they love me than saying you hate me, but I'm not going to lock into this. I'm mm-hmm. not going to, you know, it sounds good.
Mm-hmm.
But instead of saying receiving love, and you got to receive love before you can give it. And, but I'd like to think about that. So the second they're in heaven, they know your whole heart towards them. Wow. And they know your battles and they know your inadequacies. And it's like, whoa, I can't believe Pat was able to do that. You know?
Yeah.
Because
love flows out of that.
Yeah. That's what I'm saying.
Yeah.
Yeah. I'm saying that, you know, they know this instantly. I have the mind of Christ and just so many things make instant sense.
That's good.
And of course, it probably take them a millennial before they really ponder that because they're in heaven now. What was that? It was her.
Yeah. It's amazing. I think my experience too is that, the more that God reveals and, you know, I get a glimpse of how he loves me, it really helps me to be more loving to others. You know what I mean? It's like, right. Oh, okay. Is this what it's like? Okay. And I think that's cool. But, you know, I was a bride the other day and spending some time with the Lord and something just struck me as I was reading and just thinking and pondering. You know, I'm always amazed that, the folks that seek positions of power without understanding the true responsibility behind the powers. Like, what? Why do you want to be the boss? Why do you want to be the leader here? What's the deal here? What's you know, is it the badge? What, you know, is it the chair?
It's amazing, isn't it?
It's like, oh my, do you understand what this means? And, you know, the mother of Zebedee, she comes to Jesus with her sons, kneeling down and asked him a favor, asked Jesus a favor. Just, you know, and he says, what is it you want? And she asked, grant that one of these two sons of mine sit at your right and the other at your left in your kingdom. And it's like, okay. You're asking Jesus if your sons can sit at the right hand and the left hand of Jesus in his kingdom. Interesting, you know?
Yeah.
And
really? Really?
Really? Really? Really? It's like, and Jesus is so good because, you know, I don't know how you or somebody else responded or I would respond. But like, he's like, okay. He says, you do not know what you're asking.
Yeah.
To further underscore this dilemma here. He's like, I don't think you understand what you're asking. So he asks a question. Can you drink the cup I'm going to drink? And so many times I think that people just, you know, a flaw of mankind, not knowing, you know.
That's why you look at somebody's resume to find out what cups they've drunk, right?
Yeah.
That's your experience. You're like, oh, you haven't drunk that kind of experience. You haven't drunk that kind of experience. You know, you're looking at what they've drunk, what they actually have drunk in their life.
Yeah, it's huge because, you know, what positions, you know, you shouldn't be seeking positions of power, but positions of empowerment. You know what I mean? It's not about, you know, the title, but it's about the responsibility behind the title. If you really knew what it took, you know what I'm saying, to be in this place, you wouldn't be seeking it as much, or maybe you'd seek it with a more sober mind. And so
you're definitely preparing for it.
Yeah.
You know, if somebody that would not even prepared for it is just seeking title because you want to prepare for that to be faithful and fruitful in whatever that is. Mm-hmm. Because you got to show up. They're going to look at you and go, okay, do it. You know?
Yeah. Yeah. And you want to be there to help and to empower people. You just don't want to just be a chair or be a person in a place. But the cup of suffering, I mean, for Jesus, it was a price that he had to pay. And, you know, until we're willing to pay that price, until we're willing to see, you know, and experience the things that we need to experience, so that we can be there for people and really serve them and love them the way God wants us to love them and lead them, you know, it's not going to go well. It really is not going to go well. So they say, the two sons say, yes, we can drink the cup. We can drink the cup. It's like, you have no idea. And Jesus paid a tremendous price. He paid a tremendous price and he suffered much. And that's why, you know, he's exalted to the highest place. And so, you know, the way to go up is lower still. Pat, you know, the great thing about all of our VFN radio listeners is that so many of them are connecting to us on Facebook. You know, we have a Facebook page. You may be listening today. You may not be aware, but we do. And you can go to facebook.com/VFNTV, or you can go to our VFNTV.com and click Facebook. Be a part. Right now, we're about over 5,000 and growing fans. Like us. Tell your friends to like us. We're creating a virtual stadium where everyone can connect and be a part and get fresh updates on everything that happens that day on the program. Don't forget, go to VFNTV.com and click Facebook.
I think about that Promise Keepers when Coach McCartney began, you know, God touched his heart and he began to share with his friend about, we just got to get men together and we got to get people together. And two men... One man, then two men, then 40 men, as they began to do this and build small groups of men around America, then eventually that filled stadiums. But the stadiums weren't filled because Coach McCartney had an idea. Mm-hmm. It was because God wanted to begin to get men in small groups and begin to show them himself. And so that happened. Mm-hmm. But the problem is when it came out of the stadiums, it just died out.
That's right.
And what God birthed in us at that particular point was... You know, that it was time. What is the next step after the stadiums? And if you go look at our history, our history started with next step. And it was it wasn't just an idea. It was like, what's the next step after the stadium? Because these men were alive, you know, and they went back to sleep and they got back seduced again. They went back to where they were when they were dead. They came out. They came alive in the stadiums and the small groups and they went back in the dust. So what was the problem? And then we went through a process of repentance where we went into the wilderness to repent for the turning the hearts of the fathers to the children and the children to the fathers. And God moved mightily. We finished that aspect of it. And then we went with the traditional model of what we've seen happen. And all we realized that is what's producing the death. And we had to stop that. Then God called us out to begin to birth, you know, what we're doing today, understanding that God wants his church back. And I think about this. Reverend Billy Graham worked really hard. I mean, they would start probably a year, 9 months in advance to focus and fill one particular stadium. And he would go in there, the stadium, and everybody worked so hard to bring whoever to come into that stadium and fill those seats to be able to preach the gospel to them once. Think about it. When he preached once, that all of a sudden, people would find God. People would get saved. And they, and he transformed a lot of our nation and our presidents and all the things because he just preached the gospel one stadium at a time. Mm-hmm. And you think about this. You think about how very specifically that here we are today.
Right.
What we're finding out that God's called us to stadiums. We've seen the stadiums filled with people. We've seen them filled with people all across the nation. We've seen them. We've seen them crying out to God, and we've seen this taking place. But what's going to happen first, like the groundwork happened to Reverend Billy Graham when he began to work and do what was going on. He would begin to do the work, and then the stadium would be filled to preach the gospel once. But what we found out is this, in VFN Radio, based on what we're understanding at this present point, that when we share with over the 900 million people that are available right now and they're connected in the social media atmosphere, there's 1/6 of the world's population, that if we share with them VFN TV and the VFN Radio program, that out of every dollar that we use to share it with them, one of them comes and sits in our virtual stadium. And they don't come, and they like us on Facebook, or they connect to us and download our app, but they like us. And so $1 produces someone sitting in that seat based on what we presently see. Where, think about it. So, and with Reverend Billy Graham, who did an awesome thing for the Lord, you know, he preached once to him. But with VFN TV and the data radio program, when you sit in our virtual stadium, when you sit and listen and you have your VFN TV app, you have your VFN radio, you have Facebook, you have the VFN Torch. I mean, it's just, you're just every day the gospel is coming to everybody who sits in our stadium. When you help fill that stadium, that virtual stadium, for $1 per person, it looks like, think about it. I mean, if you just write $10 a month, you can fill 10 more seats in this virtual stadium. The probability is just huge. I mean, think about it. Even $100 a month, 100 new seats get filled a month. You have this 1,200 seats that you filled yourself all by yourself, or maybe even a dollar. We can begin to transform instantly. Think about it. I'm looking right now at a particular article on a broadcast that we had over 73,000 people. Think about that. That's a stadium of 73,000 people that heard the prophetic word over what's taking place on one particular segment. Be a part of it. Let's turn the heart of this nation, and we can turn the heart of this nation by filling this virtual stadium. And if we'll fill this virtual stadium, this is what I believe. We'll fill stadiums all around this nation, but they first have to be filled, and the gospel has to be sown into their hearts now. How can you do that? Go to VFNTV.com and click on giving. Click on fill the stadium now, and maybe it's $1 a month, maybe it's $2 a month, maybe it's $100 a month. By doing that, you fill the virtual stadium, and we can preach the gospel every single day to them, where Reverend Billy Graham only preached it once, and look at the return. We can turn the heart of this nation. Do it now. Go to VFNTV.com and click on giving. Welcome back to VFN Radio's Extra Hour. I'm your host, Greg Lancaster, and joining me is Pat, John, and Chris in the last part of this Extra Hour today. We're going to have the wisdom moment in just a moment, but I just want to find out, Chris, what is God saying to you, man? What's God saying to you?
You know, it was just amazing. Earlier when you were talking about being the light, reminded me of something God was speaking to me about the other day. Mm-hmm. And then again, in 1 John, the word says that this is the message we have heard from him and declare to you. God is light. Mm. In him there is no darkness at all. If we claim to have fellowship with him, yet walk in the darkness, we lie and do not live by the truth. But if we walk in the light as he is in the light, we have fellowship with one another, and the blood of Jesus, his son, purifies us from all sin.
Wow.
You know, I just thought that was just so powerful. And
but that's how we're the light of the world, not just being existing, right, but actually walking with God.
Right. It's walking with God. And the light is God's word. You know, and he as I meditated on it, he just began to talk to me. And, you know, I had mentioned this yesterday, but God tells us to write his commands on our heart. And this is why we are to abide. When we abide, when we abide, he said that, you know, he was telling me that this is what is meant by walking in the light. The light is God's word, and will keep us, and will keep darkness from us.
Mm-hmm.
You know, this is for there is no darkness that is in God; therefore, darkness will not be in us.
There's protection in walking in the light.
Yes. Wow. Yeah. You know, therefore, darkness can't overtake us.
Mm-hmm.
You know, as long as we're walking in the word and in his light.
So it's not our own light. When he says you're the light of the world, really, it's Christ's light in us.
Right, it's his light shining through us.
Yeah.
You know, and that's just what's so important, and that what we need to stand on, and that it's his word. It's not our word. It's not our light. It's his light.
Mm-hmm.
You know.
That's really good.
Yeah, you know, so it's just very powerful. You know, and it took me to Psalms where David says, if I had cherished sin in my heart, the Lord would not have listened. You know, God will not listen to us if we do not abide, or if we do not deal with the sin that's in our hearts.
Mm.
You know, the sin is the darkness. You know, it's just so imperative to, you know, continually deal with that and cherish God's word in our heart.
So darkness chokes out the light.
Darkness chokes out the light.
Wow. And that's why you say, you know, you don't want to play with sin. You don't want to take things into your eyes. It's ungodly. You don't want to do this because you're choking out your light.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and that's, wow, that's powerful.
Yeah.
So being the light of the world, that really goes right in, like you're saying, with that, that's Christ's light shining through us.
Right.
Wow. So cool. So awesome.
Yeah.
And he didn't do all this in our life for our light not to shine, or his light not to shine through us.
Right. Like you were saying, we're not supposed to put it under a bowl. We're supposed to be out there letting God's light shine through us into other people's darkness.
Right.
You know, instead of screaming at darkness, it's our light that penetrates.
Wow. Like Tommy Tenney said, he said that Jesus has this idea that church is all about him. I love that, you know, in God Chasers, he's talking about it, that it is about his, we were lost and undone without him. We were in darkness. The light shined in darkness, but the darkness comprehended it not.
Not.
And so when we walk into darkness, we're allowing Jesus Christ's light, his light that's in us. When we open our mouths and we do what we do, that's allowing God, you as a Christian right now, when you do that, your light's shining. And people don't say, hey, just thank you for shining on me. They don't just be able to walk up. But listen, they feel the presence of God. They the Holy Spirit works in that whole situation. And it's not about how we keep up with what happened with that person. Understand God will accomplish things in their life that you might not know about just by you being the light. So many people are trying to do something that looks religious, that lines up with the religious folks of the day.
Mm-hmm.
And versus saying, you know what? I'm supposed to be light here. That's what I'm supposed to be.
Yeah.
And if you'll be light in the midst of that darkness, there will be people that come to the light. They'll come to the light.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, and you'll find out, my goodness, I don't know what that was, but this is good. I like what God is doing here. You know, today's wisdom moment is from Proverbs 21:20. Today's wisdom moment is from Proverbs 21:20. It says, all a man's ways seem right to him, but the Lord weighs the heart. Think about it. Proverbs 21:2. All a man's ways seem right to him, but the Lord, think about it, the Lord weighs the heart. Imagine if you're in a grocery store and you're back and you're buying some beef or something or some fish, and they tell you, well, it's, you know, it's $2 a pound, whatever. And they take that. They don't take your word, you know, you don't just go, okay. They take it and they put it on a scale and they weigh it out to find out if what you're saying is true. Uh-huh. And the weight of that fish or that meat says whether what you said was right or not.
Mm-hmm.
And they're weighing the product. Or if you say somebody's going to sell you an ounce of gold, think about it, that you just go, you just don't go, hey, thanks. You know, you say, well, let's just weigh that. Let's weigh it, right? Because it needs to be an ounce, right?
Right.
Yeah.
And when you're looking at it, that God weighs our heart. You know, it's like you can say all the things you want to, But think about this, that then when you're finished singing, God takes your heart and puts it on the Holy Spirit scale to find out what we're really made out of. I mean, that alone, I mean, we should live our life understanding the issues of life flow from our heart, but so many people don't even think about the inside. They try to live about the outside and say, listen, it's the intentions of your heart. It's the attitudes of your heart. It's important what your heart is feeling when you're doing or not doing what you're doing. And God's telling us here, every way seems right to man, but God weighs the heart. Mm-hmm. And because of this, we have to understand that we're totally dependent on God. There's, you know what I'm saying? It's just total dependency on God. We have to humble ourselves. And, you know, humility, the definition of humility, according to the Ungers, I believe it is total dependency on God and respect for other people. Think about it. Total dependency on God and respect for other people. We're just dependent on him. That's why you can't get prideful. You can't get all cocky and all this kind of stuff, because you understand that, you know, God's going to keep you, and he's weighing your heart constantly. And, you know, and the heart is deceitfully above all things. You're just totally dependent on the mercy and the grace of God. And listen, no matter what, God, understand that when you say it is an ounce of gold, when you say it is 2 pounds of fish, when you say it is 2 pounds of meat, it's cool. But God is going to take that heart that said that, and he's going to put it on a scale. Mm-hmm. Think about that. That's huge. So you think about it. God says, listen, God resists the proud, but he gives grace to the humble. What does that mean? Well, it means a lot of things, but one way in regards to this, it means is, hey, you know, this is what I'm trying to do. This is what I desire to do. And I'm depending on God for this to happen. But you know what? It's always 4:15, right?
That's right.
James 4:15. Right. This is what you used to say. If it's in God's will, this will happen, or that'll happen. Or I'll do here. I'll go there. And we always say, and Pat just reminded me of the day that it's all, what time is it? It's always 4:15. And people don't like that, because they want their will to come to pass, or they want it to happen how they perceive it would happen. But the truth is, it's always 4:15, James 4:15. But so God resists the proud, but he gives grace to the humble. And he says, humble yourself. Peter says, humble yourself under God's mighty hand, and he'll lift you up. Listen, when you understand God's way in your heart, it's amazing to me the stance people take.
Mm-hmm.
And it's like, so why would you want to take that stance? Don't you understand God's watching this?
Right.
Don't you know that we wrestle against against people, flesh and blood. We wrestle against spiritual things. And so how you position yourself with people is very important, you know, in your heart.
Mm-hmm.
And God's going to weigh that puppy out. You know, that puppy's going to put on a scale, and it's going to be weighed. That should put a fear of God in all of us to say, you know, I want my motives to be pure. I want just to kind of go with what God wants, you know? And, so it's very important then that we don't become overconfident, in ourselves. Our confidence should be in Christ in us. Our boldness is not that we're bold. It's the fact that Christ in us gives us a boldness for him. And Jesus tells us, he says, blessed are those who are poor in spirit, for they shall inherit the kingdom of God. And think about this, that it's okay to say, you know what? I'm aware that every way that I go seems right to me, because that's what he says. He says all man's ways seem right to him, but the truth is our Lord is going to weigh our heart. He's going to weigh our motives, our intentions, and all those different things. And that alone should cause us to go, you know what, God? I'll just be merciful to others who don't understand this. I will be graceful to other people. I'll be just merciful. It just doesn't, you know, you got it, God.
Right.
You got it, Lord. It's you know, I know you're going to put this thing on a scale, and you're going to weigh it. And just because it seems right to you, be open to the fact it ain't right.
Right.
Mm. Be open to that. It shocks people.
Yeah.
Just be open that God's bigger than your thought life. He's bigger than your experience. He's bigger than what your plans are. And at any moment, even though he told you to go kill the lad at the top of Mount Moriah, don't do it if he tells you don't do it.
Mm-hmm.
Because you're totally dependent on him. Today's wisdom moment is Proverbs 21. All a man's ways seem right to him, but the Lord weighs the heart. You've been listening to VFN Radio. I'm your host, Greg Lancaster, and we're so glad that you joined us. Don't forget, you can catch us at VFNTV.com
on your mobile applications. You can download it at VFNTV.com. Go to your Apple apps, your Android apps, and all those wonderful apps. We enjoyed our time together. And don't forget, 24/7 on VFN Radio. God bless.